Nico.
So you finished out M. Night Week with Signs.
Yeah, Signs.
I'd say we ended on a high note.
As high as we could get.
You know, here's the thing. After all this time that we've watched all of these M. Night movies.
Oh, Lord.
Which we purposely did not do Sixth Sense or Unbreakable because normally those are regarded as good movies. And I truthfully don't really care to watch them again.
I don't care to watch them again, no.
You know, a lot of these movies, it was the first time I ever saw it. Especially After Earth, because I avoided that like a plague.
Holy fuck. Oh my god. But in the beginning of M. Night Week. And Lady in the Water was your first time?
Yeah, Lady in the Water was. Signs I'd seen before, but I completely like forgot it. I never saw Village.
I have my issues with Signs.
And I have to say, after everything is said and done, I would say probably The Village and Signs have been my favorite.
I will say Signs has been the best one.
Mm-hmm.
Not to say it's not chock full of problems, because it is. I think you would agree with that.
Yeah.
A lot of problems in this. But still the best one we watched. It's Snow Baby on a Half Tip.
No.
Thank God.
No.
Thank God.
And it's definitely not a happening.
It's not a happening. Are you Gorilla Monsoon?
It's
a happening.
But yeah, and I did like The Village. You know, the more that I've thought about it after finishing it and after watching it, I do enjoy it for the most part. So, Signs, Kyle. This is our last one. We're going off.
Thank
on the big
God.
One. So Signs is kind of an oddity of a movie for me because I'm not sure exactly what it is. Because it's not really a thriller.
No.
But I mean, it's kind of tense in a couple scenes.
It's not really sci-fi, even though it has aliens in it.
And it's not even really like a character study kind of thing because the dialogue's not organic and the characters aren't really organic.
It's a tale of redemption.
In the most simplistic way that M. Night can really.
And it's still not done very well. It's a movie with a lot of scenes that serve no purpose, characters that add nothing, dialogue that goes nowhere, pretentious fucking dialogue for children.
Yeah, there's some really bad ones.
And water.
And water. But hey, there's some really great scenes.
Do you want to do a plot breakdown? Or are you changing this up right now?
I'm changing the fuck up right now.
Okay. It's about aliens. That's the plot.
Well, yeah, pretty much.
Aliens come to Earth. M. Night kills his wife.
You know, the plot of this movie is very, very
War of the Worlds.
Straightforward. And you have somewhere in Midwest.
Pennsylvania.
Is it Pennsylvania? Mm-hmm. Okay, I wasn't paying attention. There's aliens that are coming down for reasons that they deduce is going to be for some terrible, going to harvest humans or harvest resources.
A lot of probing. A lot of anuses. A
lot of right in the anus.
Yes.
And it's just about a family that has a lot of problems because the mama died.
Because
M. Night fucking killed her.
After he passed her on the road. Don't know how that happened. But whatever. We'll get to his fucking diatribe later. Dialogue in this is so bad.
It's really hard because, again, this is one of M. Night's earlier movies. But I think it's really weird that we have such a shift from, like, again, Unbreakable and Sixth Sense are regarded as pretty good. I haven't seen them in a while.
This one's regarded as pretty good.
My thing is, though, if we were to have gone back and watched Sixth Sense,
I don't think they'd be as good as we remember.
So that's kind of what I was thinking.
Yeah.
Because this still does feel like his, like, second movie.
I almost feel like Sixth Sense, I could be wrong, because of the big twist. I feel like if I watched it again knowing what it is, I would find a lot of things where they fucked up and it didn't fit in that continuity.
Well, man, I feel like that's with most things with like a huge twist like that.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see. And I didn't like Unbreakable when it came out, so. Mr. Glass.
So one of the first things that happens is really bizarre. A lot of things are really weird that just happened, and it's not a weird, like, sci-fi weird.
Was it Rory Culkin's face and acting?
Oh, that was pretty bad. Yeah,
ooh, he is not a good child actor.
Is he? What has he even been in?
Nothing. I don't think so. I don't know.
He just flopped like a dead fish.
He is not good in this. Abigail Breslin, though, for as young as she was, I didn't think was bad.
Not bad at all.
She's as good as you're going to get out of a very young child actor.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking 4 years old.
Yeah, she's very young. I thought she did decent.
Well, they did a good job of keeping her dialogue very short, very...
Unlike Culkin's, which was...
pretentious, like, boyhood-like dialogues.
Christ. A kid his age wouldn't even know what half those words mean.
I want to go ahead and talk about that stupid scene. They're looking at the news, and he says...
Spoilers, by the way.
Oh, yes, but we're going to talk about spoilers now. I don't know. Do you want to rate Signs?
We'll do that at the end.
Okay.
Just, we're rating just, now. We're not going to... That's the spoiler. Because
we're going to talk about spoilers. Normally, we rate it before we talk about spoilers.
No, we don't.
Fuck you. So, he takes the VHS and he's going to
put it in. Her ballet recital. Bo's ballet recital was on it.
Was it? I thought it was like a swimsuit thing.
No, it was Bo's ballet recital. That's okay. Why whatever. It prompted his horrible dialogue.
Oh, okay. That's right. So he takes this VHS. He's going to put it in there because they're going to record what's happening on the TV because they're showing the aliens and everything. And Kyle, would you like to reenact the monologue? I would love for you to
reenact. Oh, God. We should have pulled it up.
Oh, but I did, Kyle.
Shit. All right.
If you can crane your neck here, okay. let me pull it. Oh, let me go down here. There you go. All right, there it is. There you go.
Okay. So you have to be Bo.
Okay, I'm Bo.
All right, we have to tape this.
My ballet recital.
Listen, Bo, this is very important. Everything people have written about in science books is going to change. The history of the world's future is on the TV right now. We need to record this so you can show your children this tape and say you were there for your children, Bo. I think I had more emotion than he did. I really did.
That's pretty good.
Was it? Oh, God, it was terrible. This is a child saying this. Even Mel Gibson in the background. I don't think he's in character. He's like, what the fuck? He's very confused and looking around. He's probably drunk.
It's just bizarre. It's like Boyhood. It's where we add pretentious dialogue the director's trying to tell us in a very uncharacteristic event by a character.
Yeah, there's a lot of that in this.
Am I actually supposed to believe this kid that maybe like eight?
Maybe.
Is having this
existential realization of what's going on. It's horrible.
Yeah, it's no.
All of his dialogue is that way. I don't even know the kid's name. It's just Rory Culkin. All of his dialogue is that way.
I don't really remember anybody's name.
Well, I remember Bo and Graham and Meryl.
Okay, so the kid's name, or wait, is Mel Gibson Graham?
Mel Gibson's Graham, Joaquin is Meryl.
What the fuck is the kid's name?
Oh, fuck, I don't know. Rory Culkin.
It was literally right there. We just read it.
Yeah, just like, no idea. Whatever. Morgan.
Morgan.
Was it Morgan?
I don't
Morpheus?
Know. Morpheus would probably be Murphy? A good thing.
I think it's Morgan. Pretty sure it's Morgan. Doesn't matter. It's a shit line. Read by a shit kid, written by a shit writer, directed by a shit... he's a good director.
And the thing that also sucks is that the scene where Mel Gibson is talking to Joaquin Phoenix in the basement, or not in the basement, it's when they're in the living room and it's really dark, and I talked about how great the lighting was in the shot. Because again, M. Night, if we've learned anything from watching all of these movies, it's that he can competently shoot a movie.
Mm-hmm. And this, not as much...
There's a lot of basic, like, just symmetrical shots.
Every shot, yeah.
Yeah, is somebody's in the middle of the shot, and when there are two people in the shot, they're in the exact same position, blah, blah, blah.
Like, it was enough that it caught my attention. Like, that every shot is that way.
But again, one of his first movies.
Yeah.
Can't be super harsh.
I would guess that this is, like, his first big budget movie.
I'm pretty sure it was. So. Well, I think Unbreakable had a relatively high budget, but I wouldn't say... Definitely not as high as, like, After Earth. That's definitely his biggest
budget. Oh, yeah.
Budget.
Yeah.
That and The Last Airbender.
Airbender is probably his biggest one, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, more than likely. So.
Boy, the more money you give him, the worse it gets.
Whew.
Good thing he went back to his roots with a visit.
That's what I was going to say. Even though like he gets so much worth with how much that he has.
I still can't get over when people are like, the old M. Night's back. I'm like, that's not good. That's not good either. How about no M. Night is back? That'd be great.
The first really bizarre scene that happens is when the dog pisses. And then Mel Gibson
does not have much emotion in this.
He doesn't really like sop the pee up, but then he also like smears piss on his face.
Yeah.
Because I realized that he was using the same hand that he just like picked up the wet towel.
But Lincoln, it's because he can't hear his children.
Oh, fuck you, God. I wanted to try to get through this review without talking about that stupid ass line.
That's my first note.
Another thing that M. Night just fails at in this movie is he's trying to had these like religious connotations,
but he's not subtle.
No.
How many times do you think they call him father and he goes, I'm not a father anymore?
Pretty much every single time. I mean, that's
like all the fucking time. They put in scenes just to show that he's not a father anymore, even though he still is.
Yeah, like the clerk scene where
at the pharmacy. That served no purpose other than to show that he is still listening to her and her sins as she cussed. You think that scene was in there just so he could have cuss words in it without having to write them?
No, because remember at the beginning of the movie, they cuss.
Well, he just says ass.
No, he says a couple more things. Remember when they were like running around the house or whatever?
Oh yeah, well, Joaquin Phoenix does.
Yeah,
yeah.
No,
it's like they still want PG because she's like, I've said the F word and I've also said shit and bastard. I'm like, didn't want to say fuck, did you?
No. Yeah, there's many scenes in this movie that just don't make sense and should not have really been in the movie.
Every scene with the cop. Every scene with that cop.
I wouldn't say every scene.
Every scene.
No, I'll disagree with
that. Every scene.
The first scene where she is in the house.
Talking about the old lady spitting on somebody?
Yes.
What did that add?
Huh?
That added nothing.
That's just no, that's her saying, like, you guys are blowing this out of proportion. It could be something as simple as this. You've had a lot been going on with your family. This shouldn't be something that you should be worried about. That's how I saw that scene. I was okay with that.
But I didn't think Mel Gibson was blowing it out of proportion at all.
Well, one of the main things that I said is, so let's say that, you know, her reaction to the crop circles is, okay, so we have a group of people, you know, about like 3 to 5 people are making this crop circle, and you, Mel Gibson, have called me because you think that somebody was on your roof, and you think somebody's trying to come inside the house. So then her response is basically like, it's nothing.
Yep, she says, you're just take the kids into town.
Yeah, you're imagining everything, go for vacation.
She blamed it on his dead wife.
Yeah, pretty much, inadvertently, but yes.
Yeah. Not as blatantly as the kid, who out of nowhere later just says, yeah, it's your fault mom died. How?
0 to 100 real fast.
Yeah, Jesus Christ, kid.
Yeah, and another great example of a scene that fucking, like, did not need to be in the movie. It doesn't make any sense. The kid goes into town, when they do go into town afterwards, because Mel Gibson's like, well, yeah, I better go into town, because maybe she's right.
Yep.
They go into town, and Joaquin and the family split up. And they go into a bookstore.
Oh, God. Yeah. Bookstore, yeah.
And the kid asks for books on extraterrestrials.
They're just using it to sell soda.
Yeah, there's like this big dialogue about like how the book... Oh, yeah, we have a book on aliens. It was ordered here by the city folk and herb derb der.
Yeah, it was sent here by mistake, so we decided to keep it for the city folk. Just say yes, lady.
Yeah,
just say yes, we do. It's over here.
Why couldn't that scene have just been him going in and being like, hey, we have a book on extraterrestrials?
We have one book on aliens.
And then the guy's just like, you don't believe this horseshit, do you? And then just like sells him the book.
Yeah, done. It's dumb.
Second one that happens, I think before this scene, is the scene with military Max Headroom.
And fucking Michael Showalter.
This scene is just—it's just there to say that Joaquin Phoenix used to be a baseball star and struck out too much and got taken out,
which didn't need to be a thing at all.
No.
At the end, she could have said, "Tell Merrill to swing away." And they pan over. There's a bat on the wall, and he swings it. We didn't need backstory at how he knows how to swing a bat.
I mean, even the little placard that said...
They didn't even need that.
Well, they could have just left that on there and then you'd be like, oh.
It's not like he hit the thing out the window.
True.
It's not like he threw a glass of water in the air and hit it off a tee.
That would be a terrible idea. They would just explode back.
I guess my thing is, if there's an alien in this room right now and there's a baseball bat, if I said, Lincoln, hit him with the bat, you'd be like, I never played baseball. No, you'd fucking grab the bat and you'd know how to swing it.
But Kyle, this is all about redemption and then it's showing him that he can go from being too scared to hit a ball. But
he wasn't scared to hit a ball.
I don't know. Oh, yeah, that's right. He swung too much.
He swung at everything. This isn't redemption.
Actually, now that I think about it, what exactly is the character arc for his character, Joaquin Phoenix?
There isn't one.
He just lives in a closet.
He's Harry Potter. He doesn't live in the closet. We figured it out way too late that they put the TV in the closet under the stairs so the kids would watch it. The whole time we're like, why is Joaquin living in the fucking closet? We saw him fall out of bed in the beginning. Now he's living in a goddamn closet.
He was living in like the barn. I was like, well, maybe it's like a summer home. His real home is in the closet.
Real home.
Oh, we need to talk about the climate, by the way, because it doesn't make fucking sense.
No, it does not.
So we live in Indiana. And I'd like to think that I know a lot about corn.
Oh, God, yeah. It's everywhere.
I know a good amount about corn.
We know it's easy to find. You don't have to green screen it.
we'll talk about that. When it's cold outside and you have to wear long sleeves and jackets
coats.
And stuff,
they're not jackets. They're coats.
There should not be corn.
I wouldn't think so. I think it would have already been harvested.
I mean, unless it's like a really late harvest. But I'm trying to think of like the latest harvest that I've seen. Which I would say probably like September. I mean, still, it never really...
The trees showed no sign of a cold climate?
No, because you'd think that they'd be falling up.
Yeah, you know, I would think so.
Brown and red. I don't know. It was just like a really weird thing that
maybe Mel Gibson just like wearing coats. Maybe I'm trying to think of other people that wore them.
Maybe the climate in Pennsylvania is a different.
Maybe his godless soul is just chilly.
He's just cold and heartless.
I don't know. Maybe he just really liked the coat.
But we see Joaquin Phoenix walking around. Every time he's outside, he's wearing long sleeves and a coat.
He is wearing long sleeves. Yeah. I don't know. The kids aren't wearing coats.
It's just like a really small, weird thing that just irked me.
But Lincoln, he can't hear his children. I'm going to keep saying it until we talk about it.
So the Max Headroom recruiter guy is fucking crazy. And this is another scene that didn't need to be
at the movie. All.
Like, all it is just so that you can think of, oh yeah, the aliens didn't fight him because they were obviously like reconnaissance units because we're using our military logic to extraterrestrials. Because that makes sense.
But if it does make sense, then when the aliens leave at the end, it just means they're coming back.
Oh yeah, true.
This is this prequel to 10 Cloverfield Lane.
No.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Yeah.
That fucks with my timeline.
We can't talk about the timeline. Okay. It's not even the same director. We can't put Cloverfield Lane in.
That's why I said it fucks with the timeline.
Yeah, I hated this guy.
There's just, you know, he's another just super weird character that
just read his line strangely. The line readings in this are really bad. I noticed
Mel Gibson.
The pacing on his line reading.
And I don't think he's a bad actor. Like, I legitimately do enjoy Mel Gibson's performances. I think he's great in The Patriot. I think he's great in Braveheart.
Yeah. But I think of when he's on the steps after he sees the alien and he's having Morgan read from the book. And he's like, what does it say? He's like, they're here to get us. He's like, you don't believe that, do you? Tell me another one. Or no, I gave more pause.
Yeah, it was pretty much right.
Why would you believe that? That's ridiculous. Tell me more.
Yeah, there's no pause when obviously there should have been.
There should have been a pause there. Like, you have to give it that like little haha chuckle moment. Like, well, nobody believed that craziness. Go on.
Yeah, exactly.
See?
Like, oh, that's perfect. Yeah. Well, there's a lot of like really
weird. I just out-acted Mel Gibson. Makes me feel good inside.
That's like, oh, that's like the smallest out-acting ever, though.
You know, I still have. That's
like one line.
We have emoted so much more than he did in this movie.
But I don't think that it necessarily was bad acting.
No.
I think that there's a lot of
I think it's poor direction on the
again, acting. Because another thing we've taken out of all of these movies is that M. Night is bad at directing people.
He's great at directing shots.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, when it comes to people, Paul Giamatti, Mark Wahlberg. And for these people to give such bad performances, they're having to be told to give these bad performances.
That's the biggest thing with Joaquin Phoenix, because Joaquin Phoenix is my favorite actor.
He's great.
I love him. He's my favorite actor, everything.
He is not good. He's not bad in this, but he's so lifeless in this movie.
Well, it's the same with The Village. He's not bad, but he's not good.
Yeah, he's just there.
He emotes in certain scenes, but for the majority of the movie, he's just.
But I guess you could have put anyone in that role, and they would have done just as good a job in these two films.
Mm-hmm.
I hate to say that because I love Joaquin Phoenix.
I mean, watch The Fucking Master. Watch The Master.
Watch anything else with him.
Yeah.
Anything. Literally anything else with him.
It's bizarre. And Mark Wahlberg. I think Mark Wahlberg's a pretty competent actor. I think he could have done
that. Zoe Deschanel? John Leguizamo?
Yeah. It's like, come on. It's a fucking movie.
It's crazy to think about in Signs, watching it now, because this came out in, what, 2000?
2002.
Joaquin Phoenix was not a big name then.
Nope.
Abigail Breslin was a child. And look at him now. Like, I wouldn't say she's a huge star, but she's known.
Yeah. Joaquin
is a star now, in our eyes.
Yeah, I was going to say, mainstream. He's not super mainstream. Yeah, especially with, what was the last movie he was in? Inherent Vice.
Irrational Man was.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that came.
That I know of. He probably
but did. Then again, that wasn't a big movie. But
oh, not at all. We had to go out of town to watch that.
And it was worth it. Go watch it.
Yeah, it's really good.
Also, Joaquin Phoenix hates nerds.
He hates nerds. He says it several times.
There's a lot of nerd hating in this movie.
But he comes around. Remember, he's wearing the tinfoil hat.
Yeah, he's
it's ironic cool. Because he's a big nerd in this.
But a twist.
What a twist. Just like Mel Gibson. I hate God, but I'm going to
continue to
do it.
Well, I think the thing with his character, the main arc with him is he starts out, he's a reverend, his wife dies, he blames God. While he is blaming God, he's still in this kind of mind frame of he still believes, but he doesn't want to admit that he believes, hence the scene at the table, where he's obviously having internal struggles with
yeah.
the children wanting to pray, he doesn't want to.
And that comes out of nowhere.
I actually like that scene.
See, I didn't like the kid. I didn't like the mom died because of you.
When I hate you, like 0 to 100 real fast. None of that made sense.
I guess my thing, if we're going to get that at the dinner table, then
there need to be something leading
up. We needed to show him before. This is after Mel Gibson just lost his mind though. Out of nowhere, he's just like, "What is everybody?"
Well, that's why I like the scene. I liked it because it did show him like he's having what most people would probably experience of having like a fucking mental breakdown because you realize they're fucking aliens and we're probably going
to
die.
And he's trying to tell his family it's not the end of the world, but then he's saying, "I will make special meals for all of you tonight. What all do you want?"
Yep.
Like, this is our last meal.
And the scene where he gets super emotional and he gets angry because of all of his internal conflict.
He's not great at crying.
I think he is. Previously, the scene where he is hanging over M. Night's car, I thought that scene was really good. I liked that.
That's when I said he made facial expressions by our favorite man, Art DeFuente.
Well, no, that was that was before the crime.
Okay,
though.
But the
that was yeah, he does some weird.
He just does things. These weird facial things, which it looks like a baby. It's like needs to burp. It's
that was weird. But again, I kind of blame that on M. Night because M. Night probably had told him just kind of look shocked or something.
M. Night's like, "Don't you out act me. This is my scene that makes no fucking sense at all."
But after M. Night essentially kind of confesses to the
it's not a confession. He knows he fucking killed him.
Not confession, but I don't know how to put it. It was his like.
I would say he's repenting, but then he also says it's like it was meant to be.
See, that's the weird thing about we're talking about character arcs now. Like, M. Night's character kills the mom, then
he falls asleep at the wheel, hits the mom.
Yeah, and
pins
then
her against the tree with his truck.
So then he goes with his guilt for all this time. I think it was like six months.
Yeah.
Where that he wanted to call Mel Gibson and tell him that he was sorry and repent for everything.
He doesn't really say sorry.
Exactly. When it comes to his scene of redemption, he doesn't really.
He says the words, "I'm sorry," but he says it's like it was meant to be. And he also says a line before that bothers me. He fell asleep at the wheel and pinned her against a tree with the front of his truck it was going. Mm-hmm. But he says, "I noticed when I drove past her while she was walking." How did he drive past her and then hit her? He says he drove past her. Circle around to fucking hit her? This is a magic car. This is a
true, because they never talked about him like turning around or anything. I mean, really, the only thing that you can think of is that he like turned around and went the opposite way and then swerved into the left.
Yeah, which at that point, she had enough time to avoid that fucking truck.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, it depends on how far he went down before turning.
Or a weird implied like he passed her on the way into town and on the way back he fell asleep.
Yeah,
she's a slow fucking walker. And then you know,
maybe she's just hey, remember Mel Gibson? Makes sure to tell her while she's dying. You love to walk.
You do love to walk. That's so nice to say to someone that is pinned against a fucking tree dying because she went out walking. You love to walk. Or you did.
But in the defense of that line,
it's like the dog food later.
No. In defense of that line, I think when you're in shock like that, you say weird shit.
Yeah,
so I understand why the line, but it does
but
come
still,
across.
Still, saying it's like it was meant to be is the worst thing to say to someone. It'd be like if I chopped your mom up with a lawnmower.
Oh, God.
See, I got drunk on a lawnmower. I passed out. She was sunbathing. I ran over. And you're like, I don't know, my mom.
Like a walking, like, what kind of lawnmower?
Like the happening lawnmower.
Where can you even get? I don't have one of those.
Get those at fucking Sears.
Just, do you have one?
No, I have driven one.
I have a push one.
Just go with me.
How can you get drunk and run over my mom with my push lawnmower? That thing seems like a new spark plug every 2 weeks. It has a gas leak.
I would do it.
But either way,
it'd be like, you kill my mom and be like, you know, it was meant to be, dude. That's how things go. You just kind of have to accept it. I'm sorry. You know, I mean, she was fine when I walked past her with the mower.
I just came back around, you know.
This is just meant to be. By the way, I got an alien in my pantry. Peace out, bitches.
That was really dumb.
It's fucking terrible. It's so bad. Oh my God.
So yeah, like, sorry for killing your wife and stuff. Also, there's a fucking alien in my pantry. Okay, bye.
Yeah.
Yeah, but like I said,
in a story about redemption, why couldn't we have a scene where he heartfelt apologized and Mel Gibson said, "I forgive you"?
Which is what that scene should have been.
Mel Gibson does not forgive him.
But he has a good cry scene. Like I said, I think that's good.
Yeah.
I liked his little cry.
I say he doesn't forgive him, but when he got a phone call and nobody said anything, he said, I'm pretty sure he didn't hesitate to go to this man's house.
It was just a mishandled
story. So to me, there was forgiveness there.
It was just mishandled?
Yeah.
Biggest thing about it?
It's the biggest thing with all of his movies. Execution is not good.
So now I want to get into the mysterious, or no, curious case of the missing inhaler.
Oh, you want to get there already? Okay.
Yes, I want to jump ahead a lot. So after M. Night drives away, leaving Mel Gibson tries to see if there's an alien underneath there. He puts a knife underneath. Alien hand comes out.
He chops off the fingers.
Comes home. There's fucking aliens. We need to fucking board up the place. They have their dinner thing. Okay.
We're in the basement.
Now we're in the basement because aliens are outside. They've boarded up, but they're trying to get inside. So in the basement, the kid... they find the coal mine shaft thing.
It was a coal furnace, which an alien somehow got into.
Did he crawl through, like, the chimney?
The flue? I don't...
Anyway.
I have a problem, before going on that, they needed, the lights went out, and they needed flashlights. They were tracing the air to get to this coal furnace, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's his fucking house. How does he not know where it is? This isn't their own goddamn basement. Sure, how does he have to, like, trace the wall with the flashlight? Why shouldn't he go, well, it's over here? He lives there.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that. Because it's in pretty plain view.
And it's surrounded by so many bags of dog food. Which is so sad, because I said they went to waste because both their dogs die in this. And one of them, it's like, we have to hear it. Why didn't you take your kids away when they're like, we left the dogs out? Why not like be like, we need to get downstairs? Instead of just stand here and listen to your dog brutally die.
Yeah, they should have had like both of them like put their hands over
just, you're just going to stand here and listen to your dogs die. Okay, it's dead. All right, now we're going to go to the basement. No, we're not. I'm going to tell you what it was like when you ripped out of your mom's vagina as aliens are trying to get through the door to my immediate right. Mel Gibson gave the fuck up at a point in this. He's like, well, we're going to die.
Well, I mean, he essentially did, because when they wake up, oh yeah, spoiler, they don't die in the basement.
The aliens just leave.
Yeah, I remember Joaquin says, you know, we've been asleep for like 7 hours. And Joaquin, he's like, you thought we were dead, right? And Mel Gibson's just like, yeah, I'm pretty sure we were going to die.
Yep.
I was pretty sure it was over. So we're downstairs, and one of the aliens puts his hand through and, like, grabs the kid's neck. It doesn't even really grab his neck. It just, like, touches him.
It's obviously, like, a prosthetic prop thing.
It's either a prosthetic hand or somebody in, like, their hand's in a glove. The thing about this, though, is that that hand looks completely different than the actual alien hands. Because the nails were, like, super long, and it was, like, really slender. But then when we see the alien hands... I'm pretty sure they only had like 3 fingers.
That's true. And they could only change the color.
Yes.
Which was, I'm going to jump to that.
Oh, the chameleon aliens?
They're chameleons, basically. They can change it to plaid. The little girl screams at the end and you can see her face in its back.
I'd say more so octopi.
Why does that never come into play in the movie? Why?
It does come into play, but it's a stupid cop out. So it's because they were in the cornfields in plain sight, but they couldn't see them.
Yeah, but do you know how easy it is to just hide in a cornfield at fucking night?
But it also helps if you're a chameleon alien.
I'm just saying, use that to your advantage more.
But I wouldn't even say that like the camouflage was that.
He turned into plaid.
Yeah, but it was still noticeably like, it wasn't like he blended and you were like, oh, where'd alien go?
But why have that in the movie at all?
No real reason.
If you're not going to use it, there's no reason to have it.
Well, I'm saying they did use it, but in a shitty way.
It'd be like if the alien died and they went like, huh, they have wheels on their feet. They just walked away. And you'd be like, what? Why didn't we see them skating around? They have wheels on their feet. That would have been a cool thing to, whatever. I digress. Go on to your, I keep interrupting
so,
you. I'm sorry.
The kid has asthma, very bad asthma. And we see him in a couple, I would say about 2 to 3 scenes.
Quite a few, yeah, actually.
Where he uses his inhaler, and he pulls it out of his pocket every single time.
Mm-hmm.
And before they go into the basement, we're led to believe that he didn't bring his inhaler. They never thought about him bringing his inhaler.
Well, they also left the fucking dog outside. They were very forgetful.
Well, the thing with the...
This kid should have trauma, by the way, because he murdered the first dog.
That's actually never really touched on after that happens. It's very
weird.
And
he covered it up. So you remember what he said? He was going to attack Bo and he fell on me. The dog didn't fucking fall on you. The dog leaped on you and you stabbed it in the chest. It didn't fall on you. That kid's a psychopath. It didn't fucking fall on you.
Anyway, God.
I'm just saying it didn't fall off.
Technically, I would say it probably fell, because if it was coming at an angle and he had it out.
That's not falling.
That is falling. What else would you call that? If he's leaping towards you, he is falling down onto your weapon.
Nah, fuck that kid. He killed that dog. That dog didn't do shit. They just fucking killed him.
So he doesn't have his inhaler. They never show him not having it.
He needs it quite scene. Often.
And if you're going to lock yourself in the basement, I would assume that would be one of the top things that would be on your mind.
And is it... I don't think it's asthma he has.
What else would it be?
Well, can asthma be triggered by fear?
Yeah, panic attacks.
Can? Okay. Yeah. I didn't know. I don't have asthma. That's legitimate. I have no idea.
Okay. Yes. Okay. That is a thing.
Whatever.
And yeah, he doesn't have it, so then he has an asthma attack. And I mean, I like this scene to a point, but the thing with the scene where Mel Gibson's holding the child is that there's the weird internal conflict where he's vocalizing against him hating God, but then is talking to God, and it's weird because your kid's like dying and you're saying it out loud. Like, yeah.
Please, not again. Please don't do this. Don't do this. I hate you. I hate you.
Fuck you, God. All right,
just breathe, please. I'm like, what? He didn't need to throw in that. We got it with the please not again.
I would have been fine with just a couple of those lines and then him, yeah.
And then at the end, when he goes outside, he repeats it. Do we need both scenes? I love, too, when he's like, his lungs are closed when he's outside. Then your kid's fucking dead.
Oh, yeah. Well, don't worry. I'm gonna get right to that. I'm gonna slide on into that right now.
All right, slip it in.
Slipping it in because they go to sleep. Okay, the kid's okay. They all go to sleep. They wake up in the morning. They find out that pretty much all the aliens have left. The only aliens that were left.
They birdemicked it right out of there.
And the aliens that were left on Earth were injured. And the aliens were like, fuck you guys, and left. So they go upstairs. Yay, everything's good. Let's bring out the TV so we can watch the TV. Woo, woo, woo. Oh, no. That's a motherfucking alien in the corner.
Holding a really bad CGI version of my child.
Yeah. So he's holding the kid, and that's when we have the scene which completely breaks the tension of this scene, where we actually see
the alien his wife looks dying. Like it's going to kill his son. And then Mel Gibson just stands there and then just like drifts off into fucking space to reminisce about. Oh, yeah, that time my wife died. Now is not the time. Now is not the time for this.
Yes, yeah, so and then he tells Joaquin to swing away. So Joaquin fights the alien, and the alien seemingly gases this gas that they were talking about into the kid's nose, and they're saying since he was having an asthma attack.
And it's the water, by the way. The water.
Oh, yeah, the water kills him. So water falls.
Because they came to a planet made 90% of fucking water.
Don't worry, we'll get into it later. We have a great theory. Thank you for staying with us, because this podcast is getting ready to
get
so
much better.
There's
more bitching before the theory comes along.
So, yeah, his lungs collapsed because he was having this asthma attack, so therefore he didn't breathe in the toxin, and he was alive. Movie ends, everything goes back to normal, Mel Gibson becomes a reverend again.
The end.
I guess we're supposed to assume that Joaquin Phoenix starts baseball again.
I don't think we care.
That's the end.
Mom's still dead, no dogs.
No dogs.
They have two dead dogs in the yard they gotta take care of.
And, yeah, that's signs.
All right. Things I want to complain about. Okay. We
shoot away.
There's a
swing away, Kyle.
There's a scene where they're all in the parts.
Yes. Oh, yeah. I know.
And they green screen the fucking cornfield in.
Like I said, I guarantee I will tell you exactly without a shadow of a doubt, I know why it was green screen. It was because it was the end of a night shooting. They needed to do that scene. They didn't want to wait for the next day.
Then do a better green screen. It was so obvious.
We
both noticed it immediately. There is no, is that green screen? We're both like, that's a fucking green screen.
Do you think, like, a casual audience would really notice that, do you think?
No, but I also think that scene that, if is that big, just cut it out. It didn't add anything. That, the fucking book, where they're looking at the book of the alien, or the ship over the house.
Oh.
And they're like, it looks just like our house, Dad, the windows and everything. And then he pans over,
and there's
an adult with two kids. And he's like, oh, it's on now. It's a goddamn book. That was the most.
I don't know. I thought it was just trying to like heighten the sense of hostility from the aliens.
Did it though?
No, it was dumb.
It was fucking dumb.
Kyle, I want to talk about theories.
I want to talk about getting your toes licked by beautiful women.
Oh God. Okay, I actually do want to talk about this scene because I couldn't get over how fucking shitty his dialogue was, and just everything. Who is this actor, and why did he look like a CGI character?
He looked like, have you seen Toy Soldiers?
Oh, God, the main Toy Soldier guy.
So he looks like.
Yeah, that's a pretty good
actor. Like, 100% looks like that dude.
And I'm sure he's probably a good actor. I'm sure he's been in other stuff. It's great.
He wasn't good in this.
No. But
man, did he have a grip on that fucking mug.
Oh, my God. He was.
And then Michael Showalter's just over there like, yeah, here's some backstory.
Yeah, I'm just going to be exposition.
He's like, I'm just finished up this season of Cheap Seats because I think it was around back then.
There's no way it was going on in 2002.
Cheap Seats?
When did Cheap Seats start?
I don't remember. I love the fucking show, though. He wasn't really on it. It was Cheap Seats without Ron Parker.
Yeah.
That show needs to come back.
No.
I love Cheap Seats.
I don't think it needs to come back.
Oh, my God. It's the only thing worth watching ESPN Classic for. All right, whatever. Theories.
All right, here we go.
This is the big theory.
Yes.
We're not the only ones that have it.
Well, I would say there's a couple of people that do have this theory. However, a majority of people on the M. Night Shyamalan forums vehemently disagree with this theory.
In this movie, they tell you several times the aliens are hostile. They never show you that. They only tell you that. Our theory is they were not hostile at all.
Nope.
And we have reasons to prove it.
Yeah. Here we go. So we have two categories of reasoning.
Don't get into the timeline yet.
Well, the timeline is in our second category. I want to talk about the timeline real fast.
No. The timeline, you need to hold off.
Oh, my God. I'm so excited. Okay, just trust me. Okay. So the second set of theories is going to be about a timeline. Don't worry. We'll get into that.
Yeah.
Those are the supported by the vast majority of movies and not just the singular.
I think they understand what a timeline is.
A lot of different variables that go with it.
Yes. Stop talking about the fucking timeline.
Maybe somebody has never heard of what a timeline is.
Well, then they need to turn this off right now and go to school.
What if they're in school? What if they're in class right now? They're in English class and they're listening to this instead of doing their fucking work.
Then they're a piece of shit and they just need to
pay attention. You need to do your fucking homework.
God damn. Don't end up like us. Fucking losers for life.
So the biggest thing
is the end
where, okay, we have the alien is cradling the kid who is suffering from very severe asthma attacks where he's getting ready to die. And he protrudes this thingy
out of his wrist. It's like an organic web shooter almost.
Yes. I'm not going to go into that argument again. If you haven't listened to our Civil War podcast where I get in a very heated argument with Kyle over Spider-Man web shooters.
I seriously wanted to kill him. But anyway.
So he protrudes it and is standing there like, you guys don't want to do this.
Yeah,
like,
you do not want to attack me.
Don't attack me. So then he reaches for the bat and stuff. And so he sprays this gas.
Which they kept saying the news said is poison gas. Mm-hmm. Our theory is this gas to this boy that's having trouble breathing is to help him breathe.
And then the biggest thing is
this
when,
to me is the absolute biggest.
This is the biggest. Joaquin Phoenix takes the bat and swings and you see it hit him in the back.
Which means the alien turned around, presumably to protect Morgan from the bat. And then the rest of the fight, you see it in reflection of the TV, the alien not once fights back. Not once shoots poison gas.
I mean, at one point, he's literally, like, cowering.
He's putting his hands up and cowering. He's not hostile at all.
Yeah. Like, he kind of, like, is, like, threatening, like, come on, like, don't do this. Trying to, like, tough up. But then he starts getting beat, and then he's like, fuck, like, please stop. You know? And the thing is, you know, think about it. The alien was left there on the planet because he was injured, and they just were like, fuck you. You don't have two fucking fingers.
It's the alien that Mel Gibson cut his fingers off, and Mel Gibson said he was trying to attack me. Mel Gibson was putting a fucking knife under the door.
Yeah.
To try to see him as a mirror. To me, the alien felt threatened because someone was coming at him with a weapon.
And again, who knows exactly what happened with M. Night's character, too.
Yeah, we don't know.
Yeah, I mean,
M. Night might have just beat the fuck out of him.
M. Night did have blood on him. It wasn't
specified. We don't know whose blood.
Yeah. Well, did they even... Well, they kind of showed the alien's blood because when the water gets on it...
It's like red.
It's like red.
I don't think they're hostile at all. The only times we hear they are from a military guy, just assuming they are,
mm-hmm.
a book that assumes they are,
mm-hmm.
and on the radio, which we don't actually hear, Merrill tells us, like, they said they released poison gas, a lot of people died.
Yep.
Did they die because they attacked? It's self-defense.
Mm-hmm. Another thing is
maybe that's why the aliens left. They're like, fuck you guys, you're killing us, mm-hmm. you're attacking us.
Well, a big thing with the movie is kind of the... I guess M. Night's kind of like moral about the movie, the signs of how you can interpret things multiple ways. I kind of think that he, you know, you can either completely believe the narrative of the media telling them that they're dangerous, or you can see the signs of them being non-hostile.
To me, the biggest one is when has to, in the scene, turn around and take the bat to his back because he's holding the child.
Yeah, because he's holding the child in front, then Joaquin goes with the bat, and then he turns around. And if he was going to kill the kid...
He would have just killed him.
Yeah, done.
Long before he reached up and grabbed a bat, he would just fucking kill him.
Yeah.
He didn't. I still think the gas wasn't poison gas.
Well, and also think about the when the dog dies, the dog's yelping and attacking them.
The dog's attacking them.
For a while, and then they have to kill it because...
It's attacking them.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's... And again, we don't see it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they're hostile at all. Do you want to explain why we don't think they're hostile?
Yeah, I do.
Let's get into this timeline.
Here we go.
If we come back and listen to this in a month, and you might agree, we might just be insane and we watch too many fucking M. Night movies.
I don't give a fuck.
But we have come up with this fucking crazy timeline theory bullshit.
All right. I have an entire timeline written out that includes the movies as follows. Signs, obviously. The Visit, Sixth Sense, Happening, Unbreakable, Lady in the Half Tip, Village, and After Earth. We do not count Devil, as much as I want to count Devil.
All he did was produce it.
Exactly. So we can't
even
count
though
Devil.
I know damn good and well the motherfucker wrote it.
And The Last Airbender, we can't because it was
no,
Disney
that's movie. Not his movie, really.
Or not Disney, Nickelodeon.
Yeah.
Okay. So our theory from watching all of these M. Night movies is that all of his movies are interconnected in the same universe.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there are the main event that happens in this timeline is the events of The Happening. That's like our big climax peak.
Yes.
So we have everything separated. I'm looking at a timeline that I've fucking written out.
It is in chronological order. There's some thought put into this.
In the middle is The Happening.
Let's start from the beginning.
Well, I was going to say, the main thing is that it's built up into pre-happening and post-happening. So the very first pre-happening is Lady in the Half Tip, which is part of pre-happening and post-happening. So in pre-happening, the previous events of Lady in the Half-Tip, the aliens are part of the mythology from Lady in the Water.
Yes.
As the Narfs. Okay. So this goes back to big thing with mythology and religion being tied to aliens, blah, blah, blah. Because aliens in this universe do exist.
Yes.
So now we have signs, which happens in modern day. We have the aliens coming.
The aliens are warning.
Now the aliens are warning of the plant revolt. Is a bizarre way to really describe what's happening in The Happening, but that's pretty much a good explanation.
Yeah.
You know, the plants are going to fight back because humans have had it too good for too long. Aliens are trying to let them know. Maybe this happened on their planet. They're trying to tell them. Big thing. We never see the aliens touch down. All we see are the crop circles.
Mm-hmm.
What if those crop circles aren't them touching down? That's their, like, writing and trying to let them know that these are the areas where that they're going to start doing the shit. Because as they show on the TV, the crop circles are only happening in major populated cities in the areas where there's tons of plants.
Yeah.
It's their way of warning.
Mm-hmm.
So then
I'm with you.
The Village and The Visit pretty much happen in the same time period. I would say very, very likely that they happen pretty much the same time. Because The Village, mainly because they talk about, like, the evils of society. You can take that. Maybe they knew some, you know, the aliens, all that jazz. So they tried to get as far away from the cities as they could. So The Visit directly references aliens.
Yeah.
That's a big thing that you're led to believe that there's actually aliens.
Yep.
Instead of these crazy people. So then we have the big thing of The Happening that happens, where the plants attack the people.
It's a happening.
So aliens try to warn us.
There's been several warnings of this.
Yes. We didn't listen. Aliens are like, fuck you guys. We're out. We're going to, you know, stop trying to help your civilization or whatever. So the plants attack people. Now,
that could be a reason why in The Village they didn't want them to go into the woods.
That's what I was going to say. The Village, I do have written down, The Village and The Visit could also be post-happening or pre-happening.
Really, I think it's pre-happening.
They can fit in really either one. It doesn't really matter. Same thing with Sixth Sense and Unbreakable, how they fit in this timeline. Most likely, I have post-happening. I think most likely they would have occurred that period of time. But they're kind of in this weird haven where they're in the same universe and they have, like, little kind of nods to other things, but they're not really, like, designated set in a time frame and have to do with the main timeline. They're just, like, little side stories. So now, post-happening, the biggest thing we have is Lady in the Half-Tip, and that's the second attack of plants.
Yep.
Didn't listen to the fucking Narfs. Guess what's attacking them? Dogs made of fucking leaves.
This is very true.
This is a very gung-ho approach by the plants. So then, the events after Late in the Half-Tip, eventually the plants do take over, because then we go to After Earth, where the Earth is completely taken over.
It's completely overgrown.
By vegetation and animal life, and humans had to leave.
Boom. Done. M. Night Argue it right now. M. Night, he's a genius.
Brilliant.
I don't know if it's brilliant, but it works.
I think it's pretty brilliant.
Because we've watched all these. It works. Yeah.
Well, what I was going to say, if we do count Devil.
We don't count Devil.
I'm just saying. It's not if an M. Night movie. No. If we were to count it, I know where I would put it,
though. It's not his movie.
But think about it.
It's not his movie.
No, but we know that he wrote part of it.
He wrote all of it. I'm just saying, but technically it's not his movie.
But if he wrote it like that, then let's say that he has thought of this timeline and he has written it in here.
There's no way he thought of this.
I know where it would go. It would have gone during the happening. You know why? In Devil, that's what the people in the happening were seeing. They all killed themselves in the elevator. They were seeing all this crazy shit. They were hallucinating because of the plants.
There were no plants on the elevator.
It was in the air. When they were in the fucking city, you don't see any plants when people are jumping off skyscrapers.
That's true. Yep.
Because it's in the air. Remember the wind?
Yeah, fucking wind.
So yeah, Devil, I would count during the happening.
Devil is not his movie. We can't count it at all.
Devil's pretty much his movie.
It's not his movie. It's really not.
It still happens during the happening.
Okay.
I will go down swinging saying that it happens.
It's not his movie, so I don't know why it's in the
timeline. All of them are just killing themselves in the elevator, and they're having fucking crazy psychedelic happenings in their minds.
It's not the devil at all?
No, it's the plants. Plants are the devil.
They are the devil. Do I have a tree in here?
And then really, like, I'm trying to think.
We haven't seen his movies before, Sixth Sense. Well, but
I think the Sixth Sense would have started this multiverse. No.
Sixth Sense would have started the...
The multiverse?
Yeah.
Yeah, because Sixth Sense and Unbreakable are definitely in the same universe. And then they just fit into the mold of everything else. Everything pre-Sixth Sense is just...
Because no one's fucking seen it.
Well, it's like a comedy movie, the one that was before that.
Yeah, and then like a drama or something.
Maybe that happens like before Signs.
I'm just going to say that they don't count.
Yeah.
Because no one's seen them. We didn't even know we had movies before Sixth Sense till we started this week.
It's my fucking M. Night multiverse theory. I'm coining that right now. Trademark. I'm writing it down.
That's not how trademarks work.
M. Night.
Why don't you write louder, you fucking...
T.
That's not how trademarked.
Are.
No, that's not.
Trademarked.
That's an illegal trademark you just did.
Scott, how do you feel about M. Night?
He's fucking terrible. He only gets worse with every goddamn movie.
But you
He's
know,
shit. He's pure shit.
Here's the thing that I've learned after watching all these M. Night movies.
That he's shit.
No, Kyle.
No, he absolutely is.
No. I admire M. Night. I really do.
See, I don't.
I admire him because although he has not made the greatest of movies.
That's an understatement.
And although he just can't...
He needs to stop writing.
He can't grasp his faults, really. That's the biggest thing. I like his ambition. And I really respect him for the ambition that he
has. I like his camera work.
I like his camera work. And I think technically he's great.
But his writing is terrible.
He's just reaching too high. He can't reach that high. His arms are so small.
Just enough. Just let it go.
But you gotta respect it.
Mm.
Come on. He went out, he made movies.
I respect that he's trying to make something different. Like in Lady in the Water is different. The Village is different. Signs, I'm not gonna say, is different.
Not really.
It's your run of the mill. They even say it's like War of the Worlds in the fucking movie. We didn't even talk about the pantry door, by the way.
It's too far gone.
No. They have problems with pantry. They can't get through doors in this movie.
Okay, that panda. Okay.
These aliens, if I'm to believe, they are hostile. They come with no weapons. They can't get through fucking doors. And they land on a planet that 90% of it will kill them. Hostile beings are not this stupid. They would have thought this out. They've come many fucking light years here.
Mm-hmm.
They would have thought this out.
Also, wouldn't they have some kind of, if they were actually like harvesting humans or something like in War of the Worlds, wouldn't they have some good way to do that other than just making people run around?
Wouldn't they have dropped off more than one or two aliens per location?
Mm-hmm. You'd think so.
Unless the military guy's right of there's just a reconnaissance mission, then we're just to believe that they're all dead in this universe now.
Well, what you could also do, going back to the M. Night multiverse theory, you could say if we're going... This multiverse, we'll call this the good multiverse, where the aliens are good. There could be an evil multiverse where the aliens are evil, and therefore the pre-happening would be the aliens are killing the Narfs. happening is done by, that's the actual assault of the aliens, when Signs was reconnaissance. So then the happening is them attacking. Lady in the Water is them, yeah.
What if the happening isn't the planes at all?
Yeah, and then it's,
they say that
it's fucking airborne because they shoot the shit out of their wrists and then they Jesus
Christ. We just came up with a secondary time.
M. Night Shyamalan, you fucking brilliant.
Genius.
Yeah, because yeah, so then yeah, we'd have happening is them doing a widespread assault, and then Lady in the Water is them doing an even more of assault where they're actually sending down ground units because they talk about using ground military units instead of using weapons so that people don't nuke everything.
I don't know which
one. So then they send down the fucking plant monsters to fucking attack everything. Jesus Christ. And then they take over and it's fucking After Earth. Space things. Jesus Christ, M. Night. So we have,
Oh man, I feel moist after that. That was pretty good.
We have two multiverses.
Yeah.
I don't know which one's the better theory. Both of them are pretty good.
Parallel. We have parallel timelines.
It's like poetry.
Yeah. All right. So what would you rate Signs?
probably 6.5.
I gave it like a 6.2.
Because I was for the most part entertained. There were some slow parts. I have a lot of nitpicky things. There's a lot of dialogue that doesn't make sense. A lot of characters that don't make sense. But overall, I
really still one of his earlier. He was getting into his rhythm, I guess. Well, I don't think he ever got there, but
it's solid. And I thought a lot of it was very, very competent.
Yep.
So yeah, I mean,
well, it is what it is. Thank God this fucking week's over though.
We're done, and we have our great M. Night Multiverse that's trademarked.
I don't think it's trademarked.
That's trademarked.
We can like lazily copyright it. I can't trademark. You have to go through like the U.S. government.
So now, really, all we need to do is have an interview with M. Night where that we talk about our multiverse theory.
No, because I have a feeling he'll just be like,
"I'll be like, oh my god, you're brilliant," and then his head is like, "Holy shit!"
No, he'll just be like, "You are exactly correct." I'll be like, "Fuck you, fuck you." He'll steal our idea, or he'll just scream, "What a twist!" And he'll like steal our shirts and run out the door. Then we're going to sit here awkwardly topless.
Do you think we could get M. Night to watch an episode of Lost with us?
Oh, fuck you.
He probably likes Lost.
I bet he likes Lost.
Oh, yeah.
I think we could.
Yeah. What's M. Night's next movie? What do we got?
I have no idea.
I feel kind of sad.
He's working
now
on Tales from the Crypt, right?
Yeah. Which I feel like that won't be that bad. Although I want to see what the Crypt Keeper looks like because there's a
different. It looks totally different because HBO's like, you're not getting the rights to it.
Yeah, we'll see.
We'll see.
I hope it's like a phantasmal cut.
It's M. Night. Who knows?
You know, after being done with all the M. Night movies, I feel kind of empty. I wish that I had some more M. Night movies to watch. I really do.
Well, there's worse directors we could do.
No.
I do own a House of the Dead.
I know you do.
I can get a copy of Alone in the Dark.
So with the close of M. Night Week and we think back on everything that M. Night has given us, Kyle still hates him.
I really do.
I still respect the man.
I hate him because I see the potential in every one of his films. And the execution is just poor. Other than Airbender, that's just, he's not good. I can say things like that and I go, I can't blame execution. That was already an established.
Or After Earth, I mean.
That was already, I blame Will Smith for After Earth.
Yeah,
I know that's been proven. I believe that's true.
I believe that we go into it in the After Earth review.
And I say that because it doesn't feel like an M. Night movie.
I think he took the blame for it, which is, you know, kudos.
Yeah.
I will say.
It would kill him if he shit on Will Smith. That's not a thing he wants to do in Hollywood.
No. Especially because he fucking produced like most of the movie.
Yeah.
With the end of M. Night Week, we close it and we are now hopeful that soon we can have some more weeks coming.
Yep. We do have some ideas floating around. Not looking forward to any of them. I'm looking at the board right now.
Yeah, it doesn't look like that.
If you have any ideas of weeks you would like us to do. I know people are going to say, like, Transformers. We thought about it. They're all the same movie.
It's too hard. The only thing is that I 100% need Kyle to watch Revenge of the Fallen.
We will do some Transformer movies.
You need to watch that one. Just because
Before we die.
I'm going to record your reaction when you see the fight scene that I won't shut up about. Because you will be blown.
And I think we need to do the one we watched again. No time soon. I know we say these all the time. We do have a board.
We have a big board with a lot of requests.
Full of fucking requests. So I will say, if you've made a request, or if you make one, we haven't forgotten.
We 100% put them on the board, but we have no time
all of them
when we do them.
And Voltron, if you're listening, I'm staring at Bratz right now. So help me God.
It's like number one.
It's up there. Bratz is up there. So we do unfortunately put them all on there, even if you're joking.
LOL, I forgot about that one.
LOL's on there. Spice World. We shouldn't give some of these away.
Oh, yeah. Okay, that's it.
Unfriended. Tell Lincoln you want Unfriended next. Jesus. Been putting this fucking movie off for a year. Hasn't even been
I really
out that
have.
Long, but
well, I've been putting it off for a while.
We'll do that. So thank you for joining us for M. Night Week.
I've had fun doing it.
And the next time that they decide to not release any fucking movies like they did this week, we'll put it up again.
Yeah.
Or we'll do another one. They take a while. Give us some break.
Give us some
Jesus Christ. We were watched 6 fucking movies for this.
Yeah.
Jesus.
I got fucking movies to make. I got...
We only stretched some of these out so we didn't have to watch a 7 fucking movie.
Yeah, pretty much.
Not really. We just like to hear our own voices.
Yeah. All right, Kyle, we did it.
Yeah. M. Night. Twist. Twist.